Next agenda item is David and Leanne Fick, item number 9 on the agenda. Hank, do you have this one?
David and Leanne Fick request authorization to change the use of their pier and boathouse from private use to commercial to facilitate their oyster aquaculture operation along Nandua Creek in the Punkatig area of Accomack County. They also have requested to retain a 20-foot by 8-foot upweller, floating upweller, and a 29.5-foot by 17.3-foot platform constructed and construct an open-sided roof structure over the platform that will include an upweller, tank, and grading equipment. Location of the project is halfway up the eastern shore on the bayside. This is Nandua Creek here. A little closer view of Nandua Creek. It's on the north side in the Hacks Neck area, Harborton. Town of Exmoor is here, Honey Creek. Nandua Oyster Company is a small commercial oyster aquaculture operation and has been in business since approximately 2008. The Fix bought the property from a Dr. Payne in approximately 2005. Dr. Payne constructed the pier, close-sided boathouse, and the two shed roofs in the 60s and 70s for his private use. The boathouse is right here. The Fix owned the property right in this area here. Also, the Fix have bought are leasing from the Commonwealth of Virginia two oyster ground leases, 26 acres and 10 acres in these two areas. This came to light because one of the adjacent property owners brought it to our attention that the Fix were adding onto their pier, and they were also concerned about the noise coming from the grading operation. The reason I put the 2009 photo here is just to show you the boathouse, cantilevered wharf area, two sheds, roof sheds here, finger pier, and the pier going back to the mainland. And here's what it looks like in 2002, basically same configuration. And the reason I show you this is just so that you know that nothing really had changed between when the Paynes owned it until the Fix added on to their pier after, I guess it was in 2012. So we did a site visit back in March. The Fix were in attendance. The Fix stated that the pier and platform landward of the boathouse was being used as part of their aquaculture operation. They did not realize the authorization would be required for BMRC to change the use of the pier to commercial. While we were there, we also noticed a 20-foot by 8-foot floating upweller and a 29.5-foot by 17.3-foot platform had been recently constructed landward of the adjacent to the existing boathouse. You can see right here the different color variation. That's where the new platform and the upweller are. And you can also see the tall pylons, and that's for the eventual roof construction that's also being asked for in this application. Some shots of the boathouse, and this is the barn where the oyster operation takes place, and the Fix are actually living on this side of it right now while their house is being constructed. A little closer view, you can see the two shed roofs and the boathouse, which were already there. Another view, you can see the tall poles, and from here this way was added on. Now, you can see one of the upwellers and the oyster cages and the grader and where they keep their work boat. Another shot. This is the back shed roof, which has one lift, but it has room for two jet skis. And I've seen two jet skis, I believe, in here before. And now it looks like one Zodiac boat. And here's the large enclosed boathouse to your right there. That's the inside of that. Again, it's one large boat lift, but it appears to have possibility of storing two boats on it. We did inform the FICS that they could apply for the after-fact permit to retain the additional floating upweller and platform and to change the use of their pier from private to commercial. Or they could remove the additional after-the-fact platforms and all the agriculture equipment from the pier and install the equipment on the upland. FICS felt that the pier was a better location for their commercial agriculture operation. And then we received their application, their after-the-fact application, in April of this year. You can see here in yellow the after-the-fact portion. The FICS oyster business is commercial and support activities are conducted on the pier. Accordingly, staff is of the opinion that the pier, platforms, boathouse no longer qualify for the private pier exemption. In addition, the additional square footage of the platform and floating upwellers alone exceed the statutory exemption for private piers under 28.2.1203A5 of the code and would require a permit anyway from us. Again, this is the after-fact portion. Staff has discussed the possible royalty assessment that would be associated with this permit. The applicants have questioned the assessment of the royalty based on the bold outline of the entire pier facility, which includes the boathouse and other areas that they say will be used, will not be used for their oyster aquaculture operation. They believe the royalty should be only include the area being used for their business, which would be the 57-footer by 17-foot platform area, which is here in green, and, of course, the upweller itself here. And that royalty would come out to a total of $1,491.30. This is a cross-section showing the after-the-fact aspects of it, platform, upweller, flooding upweller. The only thing in this that's not after the fact would be the roof structure itself, right there. The Health Department has no objections. Accomack County Wetlands Board has approved their portion of the project back in May, and the property is zoned agriculture by Accomack County, which is the it allows for agriculture activities. By right. It's hard to say. And there's no objections to the project, and no state agency has expressed opposition to the project. Again, this is just the upwellers cross-section. And staff's recommendation is in this case, staff believes in this case that the existing and proposed agriculture-related activities qualify as a water-dependent use, and in this case are reasonable and permissible use of state-owned bottomland. With regard to the royalty assessment, staff finds it difficult to differentiate between the commercial agriculture area and the non-commercial private pier area. Accordingly, staff believes the entire pier facility should be considered either for private non-commercial use are for commercial use, and if the pier is used commercially, the royalty should be based on the bold outline of the entire facility. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the entire project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2.1205A of the code, staff recommends after-the-fact approval of the project with a one-time royalty assessment of $5,877, and this is based on the bold outline of the entire project at a rate of $1.50 per square foot, plus a royalty of $8 for the floating upweller at a rate of 5 cents per square foot for a total royalty of $5,885 right there, which everything in green would be considered. However, should the commission determine that the royalty should be based on only the area that the applicants have stated will be used commercially, staff would recommend a royalty of $2,842.50, which is based on the bold outline of the area landward of the boathouse that they're using for commercial purposes at a rate of $1.50 per square foot, plus a royalty of $8 for the floating upweller at 5 cents a square foot, for a total royalty of $2,850.50. Again, what's in green is $2,850.50. In this instance, staff would also recommend that a condition of the permit stipulate that the boathouse, jet ski lift area, and the cantilevered wharf area cannot be used for any commercial activity. And finally, staff recommends the commission consider a civil charge of $1,000 for the after-the-fact construction of the 20-foot by 8-foot floating upweller and the 29.5-foot by 17.3-foot platform section that was built without a permit. And this recommendation is based on minimum impact and minor deviation. That's all I have. Mr. and Mrs. Fick are here to answer any questions you may have, or I can.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Badger. Can you highlight the part that was built without approval? Is it the yellow area?
Yes, this is the upweller. And basically, this would have been a page 3 item if we could have come to an agreement on the royalty. We really don't have a problem with the project itself. We just felt like it should be based on the entire bold outline of everything that's there, and the fix think it should be based off of only the area that they use it for their commercial activity.
And what type of boats are being used in the enclosed boathouse?
There were none in there when I was there.
Okay. I'll ask the applicant that question. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tanker?
Share with me again the reasoning why you think we should go with the whole bold outline.
I think our stance has been, and it probably needs to be clarified somewhat, and that's why it's in front of you all today, is to what considerations are given to a riparian pier where a portion of it is being used for recreational purpose in their own riparian rights that go along with that, and the commercial aspect of it. Right now, we believe at staff level that you can't separate the two. It's either all or nothing. But that's why we also suggested that if you come to the conclusion that it can be separated, then that's why I showed you the other slide back here that showed you that.
Tony, you want to elaborate?
I'll add to that as well. Hank's absolutely right. It's sort of an all or nothing issue is once they start using it for commercial, where do you draw the line, and when does the line always get drawn, and how is there always a prevention against some aspect of the pier that isn't commercial today becomes commercial down the road. By viewing it all as commercial and charging a royalty for everything, we forego that debate, 2 years from now or 5 years from now. With that said, this case in this situation does present a unique circumstance. I mean, it was a previously existing pier. It's been retrofitted to accommodate some aquaculture activities and uses. And you can sort of begin to draw the lines here, but can you always draw those was the issue we wrestled with, and as a result, felt like, well, it's kind of all or nothing issue. But depending on the commission's action here today, it will provide some guidance on dealing with these types of activities in the future. Obviously, this type of aquaculture at a residential setting and some commercial use and expansion of aquaculture on a smaller scale activity like this is something we're seeing. It's going to continue in the future, it looks like. So I think we're going to continue to deal with this, and whether we can separate it or not, or shouldn't we separate it, this is part of the question.
Thank you. Mr. Fox?
But we don't have any precedent to look to.
Well, the only precedent we have is where we have dealt with these situations, and we have divided between use of the pier commercially for aquaculture operations and just having a riparian pier where, say, a waterman tied up and only transported their catch across the pier.
Mm-hmm.
The latter we have not viewed as commercial and have not recommended assessment of any royalty. So if a waterman owns waterfront property, lives there, and he goes out and harvests his crabs or catches some oysters or clams, and he brings to the shore, unloads his boat, puts them in his truck, takes them to market, it's still a residential pier at which he moors his commercial boat. But once the pier crosses over into being used to support upwellers and the cages and the cleaning and the grading, the typical things you would potentially see at a commercial seafood dock, then we require permits for that. And the difference then becomes, is there any division between the totally private use by the resident and the business aspect of it. And that's the only place we've drawn that distinction is when it's totally private residential, when transport of shellfish or catch versus use of the pier to support the operation.
Thank you. Hank, did you want to elaborate?
The only thing else I'd like to add is we did give the FICS the opportunity to remove their commercial operation from that pier, but they declined to do that. And I understand why. It mm-hmm. works better for them out there.
Okay.
Then they would have not have been, it wouldn't have been a commercial pier, it would have been a private pier under those circumstances.
Thank you. Are there further questions?
One further question. In the slide presentation you had there, I think I saw in the boathouse there were our lifts now. I remember Dr. Payne had a big old boat, and I don't suspect that was on a lift, was it?
No, it wasn't. He had a big old boat, right, and I think the lift, it was one lift, and I think Mr. Pick can attest to it. He's got a large boat, but at the time it appears that it's got two boats that are being lifted on one lift.
Okay.
You can ask him.
Thank you. Are there any further questions of staff at this point? All right, seeing none, let's go ahead and hear from the applicant if they're here represented.
This is fine. Okay. Thanks. Thank you for hearing us today, and we appreciate the opportunity to come in front of you.
Sir, if you'd give me a chance to swear you in, if you would, if you'd raise your hand. And do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is David Fick, and we reside at the subject property part-time now. We're about 4 or 5 days a week there, the rest of the time in Annapolis, but we'll be here full-time starting in 2 weeks. We inherited from the Paynes in 2005 an oyster lease. We had no idea what it was. We just wanted to buy a little piece of the Eastern Shore and have a summer place, a weekend place. But we've fallen in love with Virginia Eastern Shore, and so we moved down here full-time, became full-time Virginia residents almost immediately, and did some research into what aquaculture was all about. And it was just sort of getting started at that point. And bought a few cages. Next thing you know, we were buying a commercial workboat. And a couple years ago, I guess starting 4 years ago, we hired 2 full-time employees, and today we employ 2 people plus ourselves on a part-time basis, but 2 full-time employees. And that's been growing, and in fact, we may add more people. We've gone from the first year of 250,000 oysters to, I think we have just under 3 million oysters in the water right now. I will tell you that we've not had a whole lot of success financially. It's been a struggle. We've invested over $150,000 of actual cash in getting the business started. Along the way, we decided to move the Payne's old farmhouse next door and build a new house, which is now just being, I think the use permit will be this week. We've done some other things with VMRC that included adding a mooring earlier this year, which we applied for and went all through the normal process and is now in place. We improved the shoreline, several hundred feet of the shoreline there several years ago. We're very careful with permitting and trying to make sure that we do everything exactly the way it's supposed to be done. And so when Hank approached us and said, you know, we think you might have a commercial pier, we were more than a little shocked. In fact, we don't sell oysters to the public. We sell oysters to one single customer, H.M. Terry. We are really a subcontractor almost to H.M. Terry. So the oysters are transported across our dock until last year. That was pretty much it. Then last year we added a sorter. Then this year we added a conveyor belt to feed the sorter. And then we figured out we could save a lot of money on seed by adding an upweller and a flupsy. And so this spring, we put those in. And that was where we stepped over the line that we didn't know existed, because all of our friends, my wife is on the board of the Virginia Shellfish Growers Association. She's one of the founding members. We're very close with everybody. We know every single person that does aquaculture on the Eastern Shore. And almost half the people, I think, on the Western Shore, we've gotten very involved go to all the conferences, attend the annual conference here in Williamsburg, and I've taken various seminars, and we couldn't have been more shocked that somehow we were in violation of a rule, because we're the only people in Eastern Shore that we know of that have what would be classified as a commercial dock operation, because everybody else has their sorters and upwellers on the land, which we was a distinction without a difference. We didn't understand that that was going to happen. If all we did, as I think Hank said a few minutes ago, was continue to carry things across the dock, move that equipment back on shore or into our barn, and we have a 6,000-square-foot barn there, this wouldn't be an issue. But because it's a residential area and we're trying to keep things looking good, we don't want to put a big upweller out on the lawn. And so that everybody would see, and we think that this buffers the noise issues and so forth by having it, you know, out where it is. So we said, you know, we're not gonna go that way. We really think this is the appropriate way to do it, but we are the test case, and we understand that. But understand, we absolutely, and I think staff will verify, we've interacted with them lots of times on things like getting new oyster leases. We've gone through the permitting processes twice adjacent to this facility for other things that we've done there, and so we do our best to be aware of everything. My wife and I are both CPAs. You know, we hew close to regulations as closely as we can, and this was just out of the blue. So not blaming anybody. I mean, it's just one of those things you find out, and things evolve, and this is staff is learning, we're learning as this process grows. Now, so what it really comes down to is I think everybody's in agreement on what's here and what we want to do. The disagreement is over the distinction between what's our private use element of this and what is commercial. And it's our position. It's a pretty adamant position for most of it, and it's a little flexible on some of it. Everything that's boathouse, you've got a perimeter dock on the inside of the boathouse there that is 4.5 feet wide. It's actually 5 feet. The dock's 5 feet wide, but then there's a 6-inch wall going all the way around. So it's 4.5 feet wide. That is smaller than the width of our cages. We couldn't put a cage in there and walk around it. The cage would overhang into the water.
Can you repeat that? I missed. Which, can you go over this section again? I apologize.
Is there a photo of the interior?
I do. That's okay. The interior walkway.
I see.
Yes.
And that's
so everything else
line.
Is water. There
you go.
So that's the interior walkway. Is there a pointer here?
Right here. This is the walkway.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's
what he's saying.
Not wide enough, right?
Okay, so this is the backside. The opening is obviously where the light is coming from. The cantilever dock is on the outside of this wall, but on the inside, that is 4.5 feet of width all the way around the U perimeter. Okay, this is a full width. I think it's 18 feet wide, double boat lift. Now, the question came up a little while ago, what is normally there? Normally, and I think there was another picture that showed this, there's a half the year there's a floating dock that sits there or a barge that's got 3 or 4 kayaks on it. On this side, where that carpeted bunk is a 25-foot World Cad offshore fishing boat that wasn't there because I've been fishing out of Watcher Creek this summer. But that's where it lives, and that's the only thing that happens there. There isn't a single line. There has the Carolina Skiff workboat that was in the picture that's in the slip outside has never once been inside this boathouse and will never go inside this boathouse. There's a shed roof to the left here that is 100% over water. It has no dock at all. There you go. Okay, it has no dock at all. And so the other shot was taken from standing right there looking out. This is where normally 2 jet skis live. Right now I have a dinghy sitting there that normally goes with our sailboat. The far side, the exterior cantilever dock, is where in the wintertime our 40-foot island packet sailboat lives. And the way I look at it is there's fishing rods in there. Our employees are not allowed in there. Okay? There's also a mezzanine that's not shown that's sort of overhead. No part of the oyster operation has ever been or ever will be in there. There has never been a cage taken over the line between the exterior and the interior. There's just no reason to go in there. If you took a cage in there, there would be no place to put it down. You wouldn't be able to walk around it. These things are big. They're 3 feet by 4 feet. They're not, you know, crab, you know, cages. And so I understand the enforcement issue. I understand why staff has raised it, but I know how we operate it, and I'm willing to certify in writing, this is where I have fun, okay? The outside is where my wife, who's the CEO of the oyster company and is the boss of the guys. I'm a part-time college professor at Johns Hopkins. I'm retired from the banking world, and so that's why I'm in Baltimore a couple days a week. She's down here all the time sort of running it. I'm the guy that builds stuff and sort of makes things happen, so that's why I'm here doing the talking. But at the end of the day, the transition occurred exactly the way Hank said that it did. And I would argue, can I get that the top view slide? Yeah, thanks. Okay, there we go. That's fine. I would actually argue that this section and this section, that dock right there, which is a floating dock, the main dock back to the land side, and this are really just like any aquaculture or waterman operation. That's just what we transport the product over. This is where all the equipment is going to be. Right now, temporarily, as shown in one of Hank's pictures, the sorter is here because it's undercover, and until we get this undercover, there's Virginia regulations that require oysters to be maintained undercover, and so it's under here temporarily. But going forward, this is going to be the commercial operation. I don't want to have that stuff in my way when I'm walking out to go fishing. Okay? So I said, honey, I built this for you, and part of it, by the way, was replacement of about 4 feet of it was replacement of existing previously there, a step-down part of a dock, so it's not 100% retroactive. We will acknowledge having done this unpermitted, thinking we didn't actually need the permit based on county advice. The real commercial operation is here, and I guess the upweller here, which is in the water for 4 or 5 months of the year, and the rest of the time is stored on land. The rest of this is just transit stuff, you know, carrying things off the boat that lives here to the land. When Terry comes and picks up the ship, Terry comes to our property with his truck and, you know, picks up 5,000 to 10,000 oysters at a pot. Now, the other thing that I would, and I know this is, I guess, technically not particularly relevant to your consideration, is that we're doing something here that we think is good for the bay. And that was really why we got into it in the first place. It was a hobby to turn into a business. And it's now serious. It now employs people and generates revenues. But I will tell you that I am pumping $5,000 to $10,000 every single month wire transfer into her account to subsidize this business. Okay? There's nothing coming back, and she's not taking anything out. Okay, we're pumping money into this water. And last year, half our product died. More than half our product died. We had to change some employees over that. There were some husbandry issues. So we're all sort of learning, but we're at a stage. The other thing I should also tell you is we have pledged 100% of the net proceeds of this business. Should there be any net proceeds, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, the greater of 100% of the net proceeds are $5,000 a year. So they're still getting their $5,000 check a year. But we're not looking to make a lot of money at this. This is not how we're gonna live. With that said, I'm done putting money in. We are going to produce 10,000 oysters a week starting next month because the checks aren't coming anymore. I'm essentially out of money. I've got to sell retirement assets to keep this thing going. again, that's very personal and not necessarily relevant, but it's just a little background. We're at the point where we've dumped everything we can into this, and the difference between a $6,000 royalty fee or a $1,400 royalty fee, which is what I would compute based on this square footage, and I will give you the deck we're not actually going to use for processing. It's already there, but not the docks and not the boathouse. And that's just really my plea. Make it $1,400, because I really need it to be $1,400 and not $6,000. Did I miss anything?
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Fick? Yes.
So you're requesting reduction in the area accommodating the royalty, and you're asking for a waiver of the after-the-fact fee as well?
I would do so. I understand it's not as high of an after-the-fact situation as you sometimes would assess where it's egregious, but we've done everything we can do to try to know the regulations and try to comply.
Thank you. Other questions? Mr. Sussman?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. So make sure that I understand this. If a dock is considered a private dock, there's no royalty fee. If it's commercial, it's a royalty fee. So that's the rationale why you want to divide the commercial component out of the residential. And we are looking at seeing if that is valid at this point, dividing commercial use from private use in a dock facility.
That's the question in front of us. And you know, staff has pointed out that while we haven't done that in the past, this is a case that does have some pretty distinctive uses of this physical space. And we've heard the testimony today that essentially lays out which parts may be used exclusively recreationally versus those parts that are used commercially. And I think, you know, staff had considered that as well. And in one of their, I think they had an interim recommendation or alternative recommendation that looked at that area plus the, I guess, the workboat slope and the stem of the pier. That was staff's effort to try to distinguish among the uses.
I have no problem looking at the different use. I mean, it seems pretty clear cut that a component here is private and a component of it is commercial.
That's what I did.
And I know that in my business, the land development business on Uplands, you have a zoning administrator that everything's tied to use. So I don't know why we wouldn't do the same here too.
Further questions?
I don't have a question for Mr. Fink. I have a question for staff.
Okay.
Unless we've got more witnesses we want to hear from first, I can wait. Certainly.
Well, this is a public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Fink. Is there anybody else who would like to speak in support of the application or against the application? All right, seeing none, we're back to the commission for discussion and action. And Mr. Plummer, you had a question for staff?
Yes, I did for Tony. I have a question because I think it's important in talking about the $1,000. I just want to isolate that for a second because
okay.
He's also requested that we set that aside in this instance. And so what came to my mind, I think, had also occurred to others here, you know, you're operating under the assumption you're on a private pier and you have a private pier. I understand there was construction that took place to accommodate what is a commercial activity. And I think that might have been the moment for this applicant to have realized that a permit from this board was required, if any. I'm not so sure just the adding of some equipment on an already existing structure would have rung any bells for most people. Maybe it would. That you've converted what's already been constructed from being private to being commercial and therefore have now necessitated the permit. And that concerns me somewhat in assessing the $1,000 after-the-fact penalty, we'll call it, for purpose of discussion only. And I was curious to get your thoughts on that.
I'll attack that from a couple different perspectives. I think one, I think you've got to look at, you can't divorce the fact that there were structures put out there that ultimately got you to square footage greater than the 400-foot exemption for a private. So you're automatically in the violation mode whether you use it for aquaculture operations or not. So, but then it did get used for aquaculture operations. I mean, I think we do see activities out there that are in no way, shape, or form just associated with transport of product across the pier. And I will say that I do think we dealt with that issue once before, I cannot remember the case, Hank might recall, on the Eastern Shore where we had a gentleman.
I remember.
Clam operation.
Nassauwater's Creek.
Grading equipment out on his pier and started using it that way, and we came to the conclusion that it required permits, and we went through the public interest review on that, and all they did was add the grading equipment. They might have expanded it, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. Hank, do you recall that?
Yes, Richard Cantwell on Warehouse Creek. Was in front of you, I guess it's probably been 4 years ago. And that was it. He added grading equipment out there. We did not get him for after the fact because he removed all the grading equipment and he hadn't added onto his pier. And then as soon as he got the permit, he put the grading equipment back on there. But there was no additional construction.
So it wasn't so much the equipment, to distinguish in these two instances, and that he was not penalized with the $1,000, whatever it would have been.
Our civil charge assessment matrix was a bit different back then. We have redone that, as you recall.
Right, right. I know we've increased the minimum.
So he basically removed the violation and the use of the pier as the support in the operation. It was more or less just the transport when he removed it. So he resolved the violation just as we offered to Mr. Fick to do, but then he came forward with an application to put it back and operate in that manner.
But, Mr. Watkinson, in this case, the recommendation relates to the fact that it's new construction or is additional construction.
I think that has to be factored into the violation component as well as the change in use and the placement of the equipment out there. And so, but in all things being considered, given the nature of the circumstances, you know, we at staff felt that the minimum in the matrix was the fair amount.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Thick, do you want to come on? Just come on up, if you would, to the microphone, please. And I'll need to swear to you. If you'd raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. And if you just state your name for the record.
Leanne Thick.
Thank you, and welcome. There you go.
I'd just like to address the fact of how we got to adding on to the pier without requesting a permit. We have a barn on our property, and we went to place solar panels on the barn, and we requested a permit from the county to do that. At that time, we were told, since we were zoned agriculture and participating in agriculture, we did not need any permit. So we mistakenly assumed that we didn't need the permit for the dock.
If you want to offer any additional comments, come on. I'm sorry. As a matter of record, we have to have you on the microphone. Thank you, Mr. Fick.
The not only did the county inform us we didn't need a permit, they said retroactively we were stupid to have gotten a permit to build a barn. Okay, we could have done the entire thing, electric, plumbing, finished interior, the whole thing. No, Mr. Flubar told me this personally, that because it's agriculture, anything that's agriculture, you can do anything you want. It's does not require a permit. And
The second thing I wanted to address is the fact the reason we did not take the equipment off the dock is because I had already ordered a million seed to come in. At that point, I was committed to raising the seed. It was either throw everything out for the year or to go ahead and continue raising the seed on the dock. So I was between a rock and a hard place on that one.
In fairness,
fair enough.
Hank did tell us at that point that there would be a minimum $1,000 fine, but that we could proceed as long as we were aware that we were leaving ourselves open to a potential penalty. And we knew that. At that point, we were clearly on notice. No question.
Fair enough. Thank you. The matter before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Fox.
I guess I'm inclined towards leaving the $1,000 civil fee in place, but reducing the square footage of the royalty payment. That's where I would lean.
Do you have a specific reduction in mind?
Well, I'd like to hear what my fellow members have to say. If they have anything.
Further discussion, Mr. Tankard?
I would have a tendency to agree with Mr. Fox, and I would go with the royalty fee of the 28, I think it's 28.42.50, and the $1,000 civil charge, which sounds like they understood was coming at them when they built the structures that were not in compliance. And I guess it does bother me, though, having said that I would want to do that. You know, this type of operation anywhere on the water can be problematic to neighbors, the noise, the cleaning, the effluent that kind of comes out of after cleaning oysters, et cetera, can be obnoxious and doesn't smell so good. So I think when we create a commercial pier, which we'll do here, it's somewhat substantial. It is going to be part of that environment for a while, so I don't think it can be taken lightly. And the other thing that worries me is that over time, when we begin this operation flourishes, that dock or the boathouse could look like a pretty good place to do business or to do work, to grade oysters in a hard northwest wind. That'd certainly be where I'd want to be. So, in a way, I understand what Tony's saying, in that, you know, once you're a commercial pier, you're a commercial pier, and what you got out there is all commercial. So I kind of go either way, to be honest with you.
Further discussion by the commission? Mr. Plumlee?
Is there a way for us to condition this that the area specific that under our consideration for the lower sum, that be the limited area of commercial activity as a condition of this permit, and that if it expands that they have to come back before us and we can reconsider at that point any kind of modification?
I would think you could include that as a condition of the permit, but I see Tony approaching.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's suggested, or we had suggested in our evaluation, that if you do go with, let's say, this scenario in terms of the recognition of the areas used for commercial operations and you exclude the boathouse, that there would also be a condition in the permit that prohibited the boathouse area, the remainder, from being used to support the aquaculture operation. And if they did, they'd be in violation and we'd be back here again. Or
I think
they
the
could
same neighbor might let us know. I think the same neighbor might tell
us
into that as well.
And if at the same time they realize, okay, that's a permit condition, but I do now want to use it, and I'll go back to BMRC and ask for an expansion, and we would authorize that and assess the royalty then. So it's several different paths it could take, I suppose.
Thank you, Tony.
Based on that, I would like to put forward a motion to approve the after-the-fact permit at the lower royalty of $28.50 for the specified areas, not to include the boathouse, jet ski lift area, the cantilever wharf area, that those areas are not to be used for any commercial activity. That be a condition of the approval.
And what about the civil charge?
Does the civil charge of $1,000 be assessed as well?
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Discussion on the motion? For the record, I'll say I appreciate the fact that this is essentially a new precedent in one sense, and yet I think it is clear from the record that's before us that this pier is supporting mixed uses, and they're pretty well delineated. They're further delineated as a condition of the permit. So I think it is an appropriate way forward. Is the commission ready for the question? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Thank you.